This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Motti. Thank you for listening to us on radio or the podcast. We really appreciate every one of you. Our special guest this week, and it's a very special anniversary episode of Faith on the Field. Our guest this week is Carolina Panthers head coach Dave Canales. Stay tuned to hear that conversation. Dave shares his powerful testimony. You will hear his heart for serving and really being a vessel to connect people to Christ. I really appreciated his transparency in this conversation. He talks openly about some of the struggles that he had in his marriage several years ago. He and his wonderful wife, Lizzie, they have four children, and she's an incredibly supportive wife. So you'll hear Dave talk about that. If some of you may recall, especially if you're Carolina Panthers fans and watched his introductory news conference when he started talking about his wife and her influence on his career, he kind of teared up. So stay tuned. That conversation is coming up. It's a great one. But as I just mentioned, it is our anniversary, 7th year of Faith on the Field. April 6, 2017 is when we launched on ESPN Philadelphia. What started on one radio station has now, it's grown to several across the country. We have at various points, we've been heard on 17 different radio stations. So we are grateful and thankful for this opportunity. I just love being able to combine my love for sports, my passion to share about Jesus. So thank you to everyone who has been a big part of this journey, from Doug and Pastor Phil, Pastor Scott, Pastor Kyle, and his advice to me, take Jesus to your marketplace, my wife Remy, all the players, coaches, everyone who has been a guest on this show, our awesome sponsors who've made this happen, especially International Justice Mission, Heritages, and many others along the way. So there's been many challenges, there's been many obstacles, but I'm not stopping. Faith on the Field has now reached 7 years, 275 episodes. This is number 275. We're going to keep bringing it to you, faith-filled sports conversations. So I'm really excited to continue that. It's changed over the years. The dynamic is different and all of the stuff. But here we are. We're still going strong and got a really great conversation coming up with Carolina Panthers head coach Dave Canales. And before I get started with a word for you, just a quick reminder, the U.S. Christian Chamber Business Expo and Global Conference is coming up April 18th to the 20th in beautiful Orlando. I'm really fired up to be a keynote speaker. I'm going to take the stage on April 19th at 10:20 a.m., but Crystal Parker and her team, they're bringing in experts from around the world to help the Christian business community really root our companies in Christ and influence the way the world conducts business. So there's a ton of great speakers. I was on a call with all of them earlier this week. So check it out, uschristianchamber.com. You can get more details. You can get tickets. If you use the code Faith on the Field, there's a discount for tickets there. So make sure you check that out. Again, April 18th to the 20th, U.S. Christian Chamber Business Expo and Global Conference. And it's in beautiful sunshine-filled Orlando, Florida. Make it a family vacation. Take the kids to Disney, however you want to go about it. But you won't regret it. It's going to be an awesome conference. Now, before we get to the conversation with Dave, I know I got to keep it short this week. And I want to talk a little bit about patience, because I don't have any. I'm sure a lot of you can relate, but I grow impatient very quickly with the silliest, stupidest things. Sometimes with technology, you've heard Remy laugh at me and talk about that. I get really impatient when technology doesn't work, when something doesn't download, when my phone doesn't do this, or my laptop doesn't do that, or whatever it may be. And sometimes it can be impatient. I hate waiting in lines. I am not a lines person. That's my big issue with going to Disney with the kids. And sometimes you get the Fast Pass or Lightning Lane or whatever the heck it's called, whatever that stuff is. It's certainly well worth it if there's going to be lines. I've never been a lines person. I just don't like to wait around. And sometimes I feel a lot of us can, beyond these little dumb daily things, we may be impatient when we're waiting on something major or a prayer to be answered, when we're waiting on the Lord. How many of you are as impatient as I am sometimes when we're waiting for something major or a big prayer request or whatever that we want to see happen and we want it right now, but God's timing, how often do you hear that too? God's timing is greater than, it's better than my timing. Yes, I know. And it's a wonderful thing to say as a believer, but gosh, I want it right now. Like I it's got to happen right now. Well, Romans 12, 12, Paul writes, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." And patience is, it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You find that listed in Galatians. And the Bible's teaching us that patience is it's a really important aspect of our relationship with the Lord, but also our relationship with other people. I'm impatient with my kids. Sometimes I'm impatient with my wife. In fact, she's not recording this episode with me because I lost my patience and just couldn't wait around and said, hey, we got to get this done. We got to not. I know it's the 7th anniversary of Faith on the Field. I know it's a big number 275, but hey, I got to get this done. Everything, there's a time, there's a deadline, there's this, there's that. I grow impatient, but how do we handle our when we're being impatient? What words are coming out of our mouth? How are we conducting ourselves? Are we still maintaining our testimony? Are we still being true to who we are as Christians? The Bible's telling us the importance of having patience in our walk, in our daily journey, in walking with the Lord, in waiting on Him for an answer to a prayer. And sometimes you're going to get no. Sometimes it's not right now. Sometimes it's yes. But how we wait on the Lord, how we practice our patience with Him also helps us in our life and in our interactions with family, with friends, with children, with coworkers, with bosses, with whoever it may be. Patience is such a big part of daily life. Sometimes who wants to wait in traffic? Hate waiting in traffic. Sat in traffic earlier today for about 20-25 minutes. I don't like it. But we find ways to pass the time. I'll listen to Christian music. I'll listen to a sermon or something to make sure that my waiting is beneficial in some way, shape, or form. So go back to what Paul said in Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. There's so much joy in having hope in Christ. Be patient in tribulation. Be patient in those times when things are tough, when there's uncertainty, when we don't have the answer that we want. But I love how he finishes this. Be constant in prayer. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, but constant in that prayer time. If we're consistent in our prayer, that'll help us in our patience. It will. The Bible says you gotta focus on being patient as hard as it may be, and that will really improve our relationship with God and our relationship with others. So I had to keep it short. We're going to get to an awesome conversation coming up next with Dave Canales. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. 1 in 4 are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to ijm.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
Hi, everyone. I'm Remy Mahdi, co-host of Faith on the Field Show. I am so excited to be a part of an incredible team at Coastal Properties Group International here in Tampa Bay and its beautiful surrounding areas. Real estate is my passion, and I love helping people find their dream home. I specialize in luxury sales, but I do it all. So whether you're looking for a starter home, forever home, or a gorgeous property on a beach, I'm your girl. If you're selling, we can list your home and help you every step of the way to make it a smooth and easy transaction. I love the Sunshine State, so for those of you listening to us outside of Florida, I just want to know, what are you waiting for? Living here is a vacation every day. So give me a call at 813-697-8386. Again, that's 813-697-8386. Or email me at remymahdi@gmail.com. That's Remy, remymaddi@gmail.com.
Join us at SWC 2024 Expo and Global Conference, April 18th and 19th in Orlando, Florida. I'm Crystal Parker, president of the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce, inviting you to this powerful event where faith meets business innovation, sponsored by Red Balloon. It's not just a conference, it's a transformative experience for you and a vacation for your family. Secure your spot at uschristianchamber.com. See you in Orlando to shape the future of Christian business.
This is Derrick Henry, and you listen to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Motti. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonthefieldshow.com. Find every episode since we launched, as we said earlier, in 2017. We've had an awesome lineup of guests. You can listen anytime at your convenience on any of the podcast platforms. Also, please be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. Actually, I should say X, not Twitter, but whatever it is, at Faith on the Field. And tell a friend or as many as you'd like about our show and about our ministry. If you would like to partner with us and help this ministry grow, please reach out to us at team@faithonthefieldshow.com. We can work to accommodate your goals, your business needs. Our dream is to be on a sports radio station in every state, and you can help us make that happen. Even if you don't have a business to advertise, we are a nonprofit ministry and we do have a donate button on our page at faithonthefieldshow.com. Our guest this week, very special guest, Dave Canales, is the new head coach for the Carolina Panthers. He was the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last season, previously spent 10 years with the Seattle Seahawks, where he was a wide receivers coach and then a quarterbacks coach in Seattle. Here is my conversation with Dave Canales. Coach, welcome to the show. Appreciate your time. And this is a really exciting time for you in your career as, and congratulations on being the head football coach for the Carolina Panthers.
Just thanks, Rob.
Tell me a little bit about your journey to getting to this point. I know how exciting it must have been, but there's a lot that goes into it. You spent a lot of time in Seattle. You spent a year in Tampa Bay, and now you get this amazing opportunity in Carolina. I'm sure it's sort of a culmination, right, of a dream come true.
It really is, you know, and I got this picture back here. I want to show you just talking about the journey. You know, kind of started right here.
Wow.
And this is Carson High School, 2004. I'm the junior varsity head coach. That's me in the baggy khakis right there with the too long of a haircut. But it all started there. And I came out of Azusa Pacific University with the heart to just give back to my community, to where I'm from, Carson, California, and started working at the church, had dreams to open up a gym. My dream was to become like, you know, some of the training facilities that prep players for the draft, combine, and off-season workout types. That was my dream. Okay. So at my dad's church, he had a youth center that was about, you know, 20,000 square feet. And I was like, oh, this is where we're going to do it, right here. And so I started training players while the players' parents told on me to the local high school coach. He roped me in to being the head coach for the JV team. And I was hooked. It was like the first game against Venice High School. We lost 34-13. It was the greatest day of my life. You know, it was like I had found it, you know, and after 2 years of that, My fiance, who became my wife, Lizzie, she said, "You're really good at this. You love it. They respond to you. Your football teams are good. Like, if you want to pursue this, like, long term, I got your back. Like, we'll do whatever we need to do, whatever it takes to make it happen." And she did. She worked 3-4 jobs at a time, and just kind of did whatever she could do so that I can go and be exposed to all the best coaches, college coaches around the country, to learn, to network, to do all that. And then, you know, by the grace of God, we ended up getting hired at USC after 3 years at the junior college level. So it just happened all in our backyard, really for the first 6 years of my coaching career. And that's where I met Pete. And then Pete took me to Seattle, and then, you know, the last two jumps kind of brought us to here.
I know how important
Lizzie, is to you. Obviously, we saw at the news conference, you kind of got a little bit emotional talking about her and saying how instrumental she was in this journey for you along the way. You guys have been together a long time. You have four children. How much does it take in that relationship to be able, as you said, to do what you need to do? Because you got to this point, but now the life of an NFL head coach, you're in the office, you're going to be there a lot. You got a lot on your plate. So how much does it, that relationship, to be as strong as it is, how important is that?
I think it's super critical because, you know, really this goes back to the story of my testimony and what our marriage became. So for the first 9 years, that covers like high school, junior college, USC, and the first 5 years in Seattle. And I was not the same person everywhere I went. I was partying. I was drinking way too much. I was doing all this other stuff when I was away from home. And then when I would come home, we'd go to church, talk about the Lord, say all the right things, you know, had the right group of friends, et cetera. So like I was completely torn in two. Wow. And really didn't know who I was. And you know, when I became wide receivers coach in Seattle, like this new responsibility was kind of put on my plate. And so I come home, this is after Super Bowl 49, we lost to the Patriots on the 1 yard line with the interception, the pick heard around the world. And
I was there.
Oh man, you were.
Yes. Yeah, I was there.
What a painful moment, you know. But like on the eve of that, I get my big opportunity to become a receivers coach in the NFL. And so it's like a couple of weeks later, and I'm talking to my wife. I'm all excited. I'm like, I can't wait to get the players around us so they can see what a good Christian marriage looks like. And she just kind of hit me with, this marriage? Like, you want them to come and see this? She's like, I believe we love each other. You're my best friend. I don't think we have a great marriage.
Wow.
I think we're just committed to each other. And she was just like hit me between the eyes. And it was a sobering moment for me that like, okay, she's right. Like, I'm a hypocrite. And she really doesn't know the full story. And so it was at a marriage conference about a couple weeks after that, where I really felt led by the Holy Spirit to tell her who I had been, the things I was doing that she didn't know about, the lifestyle that I was leading. And like, that was really just completely heartbreaking for her, of course, you know, and really for me too, just like the vulnerability of like, you know, I was talking about being unfaithful. I was talking about like, you know, binge drinking in different towns and like kind of this lifestyle I was living in. So I was kind of putting at risk, like she may say, I'm done with you. You're a liar. I'm out. You know, so I wanted to risk it all, but it was really for, you know, goes back to this moment that I had in my truck. I'm driving to work and the Lord's like, you got to give this to me. I'm not promising you outcomes. I'm not promising you, you're going to have this marriage. You're going to continue in this, the way that your world is set up right now with your fam, with your kids and your wife and the dog and the white picket fence and all that. Like, I'm not promising that's going to stay intact, but what I'm promising you is that if you give it to me and you do it the right way, that I will never leave you and my way will be better, but you got to trust me with it. You know, it takes me back to Matthew 5:25, I think it is. But it's Jesus is telling the story. He says, if you're on your way to give your offering at the temple and on your way, you realize that you're not right with your neighbor, go back, settle up your dispute, then come back. And like the picture to me in that moment, because I'd heard my dad preach that sermon different times, but what it meant to me was, I don't want your ministry or what you think is going to make you look good in the NFL, in this profession, until you go and get your marriage right with your wife. And then my wife's calling me out. And so then I really felt like to fully come into the calling that God had for me, it had to start at home. It had to start with honesty, with vulnerability, with courage to have hard conversations, And to put it all on the line for what God has. And that's what kind of led us to that. And that was the first 9 years. April 15th will be our, it'll be 9 years. That's our anniversary. It'll be 9 years after. So we have nine before. Now we're nine after. And these last 9 years, just the work that the Lord has done in our lives, really is everything. Rob, long way to answer your question. Mm-hmm. It strengthens our marriage so that I could fully become the coach,
yeah,
fully become the man, the leader. My buddy Scott tells me this all the time: lead self, lead others, lead organizations, mm-hmm. in that order. And a lot of times we do this thing backwards in our society, in our culture. But it did when we put God first in our marriage, put God first in my life. That's leading self through Christ, which then prepped me to lead others and disciple coworkers, players, which then puts me in a position to lead organizations. So that inside out work, you know.
Having that foundation, Dave, of your dad being a pastor, your grandpa being a pastor, how much did that, at least you had that foundation. So when you veered off the path, right, you still, there was something inside you. You knew what was right. You knew what you had to do, but then it took your wife making that comment to you. But how much did that foundation help you in giving you what you needed to be able to be grounded, to be centered and say, this is where I want to be. This is who I need to be.
Yeah. I mean, I'm living the dream of a illegal immigrant to Bakersfield, California, you know, at the age of, you know, 12, and his brother was 14. They left with their mom and landed in Bakersfield and worked the fields. And he found the Lord in his 20s, like 26 or 27 years old, found the Lord, and then had a vision and a dream for his family. He didn't even have a family, but he said, if we're going to do this right in this new country, in this place, we're going to put Jesus at the center of it. And that was my grandpa, Miguel Canales. That was his dream for his family, was we put the Lord first and we go and serve his people. And so that dream has come to fruition. And in myself, my older brother who took the church over from my dad, my younger brother, who's a dean of students at Azusa Pacific University, a Christian university, like, all of us have our different angle to serve God's people, to have a vehicle, to have a format, to be able to live out really a ministry life, really like a missionally focused life. So the foundation was huge. But then to have my wife, who's courageous to challenge me to grow in ways that I didn't quite see each generation grow towards, she comes into it and then just really like pours gas on this fire, you know, that the Lord started a long time ago.
I think it's so important to be able to have those people who hold us accountable. And
yeah,
ministry can look so different in so many different ways. I was at a point in my life 6 or 7 years ago where I thought I had to do full-time ministry and leave what I'm doing. But then through a pastor friend of mine, he said, no, Rob, take Jesus to your marketplace. And that's how this show came about. So you have a brother, you have family who are in different forms of ministry. How do you, as a football coach, as someone in the NFL, minister to others, to those around you? How do you do that? Take Jesus to your marketplace?
Yeah, I just, first and foremost, just watch his example, right? Village to village, what is the greatest need that this place has? Number one, it's salvation. We know that. But then what are the practical needs of this place? There's healing. They got leprosy, or there's this blindness that's being caused, or there's like a spiritual oppression. And so Jesus would just come and see what is the greatest need here and what do I have to give them? Well, he's got the ultimate healing, you know, on all levels. And well, I don't have that, but what do I have? Well, I have hope. I have a genuine joy for life, for the possibilities that life can become. I got football. A lot of football to offer this place, a lot of personal work and introspection, leadership study, and all that stuff, all the things that kind of pour into this position, like I can give that to this place. some missionary friends of my parents that would come and visit every couple of years to raise funds to go back to Nicaragua or to Colombia, you know, where they would do their missions work. They were in between services speaking to the congregation to raise money. And they were resting in my dad's office. And the wife, I can't remember her name, but I sat there with them and I've known them my whole life. But I just said, what does it look like, you know, being a missionary, you know, like on a day to day, like, and she said, it's probably not what you think. We're not standing on corners, preaching out of bullhorns. And in fact, a lot of places you'll get killed for that. Mm-hmm. Cause they see it as anti-government.
Yeah.
And she says, it's really not what you think, probably. It's like, we're not out there preaching all the time. She said, where they don't have dentists, we pull teeth. Where they don't have water, we dig wells. Where they don't have clothes and shoes, we do clothing drives from the States, get it shipped here, and we distribute it in a responsible way because otherwise they'll take it. So we got to protect the stuff. We feed, we watch kids because both parents work and the kids just walk around the town. We give them schooling because they don't have schools. And I said, wow, that's Jesus. But the light bulb went on for me. I said, okay, so for me, this being my mission field, what I can do is I can help Baker Mayfield get his footwork right, help him see coverages clean, help him have the right leadership messaging to the group. I can help Bryce Young, you know, take the next step in his career, teach him how to be a professional quarterback. I can bring the tools that I have. Any of the guys that are getting married or in relationship, I can be an open book to them for what it looks like to have a struggling marriage, fractured marriage, really on the rocks, to a thriving marriage and what that took, you know, what it looked like. So I can bring all those things wherever I'm at, and offer them and follow Jesus' examples, follow these missionaries' examples, you know, in a practical way.
That's a wonderful way to do it. It's how you live out your life. Sometimes we get caught up in, what do I say? What do I do? It's how do you live? How do you act? And that could be a great example. You just mentioned Baker Mayfield and Bryce Young. Coach, you had a tremendous success with Baker, helping him kind of revive his career in Tampa Bay. And now he's going to be here for a while. How excited are you to work with Bryce, and what do you see in Bryce's potential as a number one overall pick last year, who kind of had some difficulty in his first season?
Yeah. I still hold him in that same high esteem that I did a year ago, you know, when we were doing the QB evaluation process, watching him, you know, and I really see just a group in general, you know, that, really for me, you know, creating a really solid offensive core and foundation, not necessarily around Bryce, but just having that established so that he can just do his part. I really believe we're going to see this guy thrive and become what everybody really thought a year ago, which was like, there was kind of a split party. Like, some people were CJ Stroud, some people were Bryce Young, you know, but it was pretty split, you know, as far as like, that's league wide, you know, that's nationally. I think everyone can agree, like, these were the two guys that we thought would be the top ones in the class. And the talent, it's all there. I watched all the games from last year. It's all there. There just needs to be a consistency of offensive football around him to just allow him to do one part of it. I'm really excited about it. And I'm also just excited to have another guy who has really, he doesn't take no for an answer. And the cool thing and the nature of like the shorter quarterback is they got to be a little bit unconventional with how they get things done.
Yes.
But he found a way to do it and become the best player in the country in high school. He found a way to do it, become the best player in college football. He's going to find a way to do it. And I'm just so excited to be a part of that process, to help him find his way and to say, okay, like this, we're going to do this play a little bit different. You know, we're going to try to get you over here or over there on this play. And just to kind of learn him and have that scheme just really start to come to life with him at the helm.
I have no doubt you're going to be able to do that. Saw the work that you were able to do firsthand in Tampa Bay. We know the success that you had also in Seattle. So really excited for your opportunity. Wish you a ton of blessings and a ton of success, Coach. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me, man. Anytime I get to just really share my heart and my the big why behind what we're doing here is like, can I be a great football coach so that I can be a witness for Jesus and let that be the lead? And then I know that as we do that over time and I'm around people enough and build that trust, and there'll be windows where people will be receptive and open to what the Lord wants to do in their lives. And I just want to be, really a good steward and be ready to give them the gospel when I get those opportunities.
I appreciate that, brother.
That's it for this week. Thank you to Dave Canales. Thank you to Doug, Pastor Scott, and everyone on our team. And thank you for listening to Faith on the Field Show. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest, coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.